This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, dedicated to increasing knowledge and engagement in the world's most critical issues. On April 24th, the Council is hosting a conversation with New York Times White House and National Security Correspondent David Sanger to discuss his latest book, New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. Registration for this event is available at globalaffairs.org/events.
It's time for our weekly climate conversation. Today, we're answering a question submitted by Christina in West Chicago, Illinois.
I'm calling with a question regarding how much we should factor the environment into the decision to have children.
And Christina says she's always wanted to have a child, but she's scared by the news about our climate.
I'm terrified for the next generation, and I wonder what the next 100 years will look like. Will there be fresh water, beauty in landscapes, access to energy? I know this is a huge question, but I'm curious to know the conversation surrounding this.
Today, we're going to have that conversation with Megan Kallman and Josephine Ferrarelli. They're the co-founders of Conceivable Future, which collects testimonials from people across America struggling with these same questions. So I'm going to start with you, Megan. Your group says the climate crisis is a reproductive justice crisis. What do you mean by that?
What we mean by that is that the climate crisis has further curtailed people's ability to imagine their future. And included in that is their ability to imagine their reproductive future. So this question of should I have children is really, really pressing. It's sitting very heavily on the hearts of a lot of people in their, I would say, early 40s and down. And for us, we don't have any answer to this question of should people have children or not have children? How should people parent? We try really hard not to be prescriptive. But the goal of our group really is to talk about how climate change further curtails reproductive autonomy and reproductive sovereignty and poses a further threat to the health and well-being of parents and children across different contexts and continues to curtail our ability as a generation to imagine a healthy future.
Megan, you mentioned that your organization doesn't take a stance on whether people should or shouldn't have kids. So, Josephine, what kind of advice can you offer someone like Christina who is grappling with questions like this?
I think what I would say to Christina is what I wish somebody had said to me at the time, or actually something that Megan and I said to each other, which is like, you're not alone. So when Christina asks what the next 100 years is going to look like, we all share that uncertainty. We have no idea, but we do know that how it's going to look will have a lot to do with what we all do in the next 10 years.
In your work collecting testimonials and hosting house parties for people so they can talk about these issues, what are some of the common threads that you've been hearing?
So when people come to talk with us, their concerns tend to be somewhere along the spectrum between two poles. One pole is, what harm will come to my child if I have a child? What harm will a hotter, less stable, more violent future bring to my child? And then the other pole is, what harm will my child do to the world in the form of consumption, resources, that kind of thing? Often people are somewhere between some complex mix of the two. And we think it's useful for people to see and distinguish between those fears, because one of them has a systemic solution and the other one is this existential question that we're all confronted with. And for me, the existential question is interesting because it's one that we're really faced with regardless of the climate crisis, which is that, like, we really don't know what the future holds. We've never known what kind of life we can offer a child we might have, or, you know, a beloved niece or nephew, student, any young person in our life. Like, we hope that they live a long and healthy life. We do what we can to ensure that, but no one on earth has ever been able to do that before. Now the deck is really stacked against that. And one thing we come back to again and again is that nobody makes decisions freely in the face of this kind of massive, avoidable, government-supported harm.
Megan Kallman and Josephine Ferrarelli are the co-founders of Conceivable Future. And thank you to Christina for submitting that question to our climate segment. If you have a question you want answered, email us at climate@wbez.org.